Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. In the gospel reading that I just read, it was the word "understand" that particularly grabbed my attention. Understanding is not mere knowledge, and it doesn't simply come with power, and frankly, in this world, it doesn't seem like it's all that pervasive. As one author puts it, understanding requires an ability to think and act flexibly with what one knows. And in today's episode from the Gospel of Luke, we saw that process of understanding unfold before our eyes. You see, just before today's episode began, two disciples were telling the other disciples that they saw Jesus while eating with a stranger on the road to Emmaus. Then, the first thing that happened in today's reading was that the embodied Jesus frightened the disciples. And in response, Jesus gave them a greeting of peace, and then Jesus used the disciples' senses to calm their fears by commanding them to look, telling them to touch, and allowing them to witness him eating. And finally, after Jesus mitigated their fears and confusions, then and only then, Jesus opened them to understanding. And I have to say that I wish that humanity could embrace Jesus' process of bringing understanding. I think that far too often we want to shove knowledge in people's faces to force them to understand our own point of view. We spend more time waiting to respond to someone talking to us than truly listening to what they're telling us. We quickly jump to console another, instead of holding space in the pain and the fear that another is experiencing. Yet, in today's scene, it was Jesus who began by meeting the disciples right where they were, namely in that place of confusion and fear. Jesus engaged with what they held in common. You see, they started talking about familiar viewpoints, not divisive ones, but familiar viewpoints like Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And then he engaged with them around shared human needs, things like food and relationality and security. Then after rooting their relationship in the things that he knew that they already held in common, Then he opened their minds to new understandings. And this, my friends, is a biblical model for transformation and understanding that unfortunately is not often braced in our churches. I've been a part of religious organizations that forget to start with the basics. These groups jump right into talking about the Bible from the very first moment. They try to change people's minds and transform their lives before even knowing a single thing about them. At its basic level, this approach is a form of colonialism, and their technique is to take over the individual by controlling their thoughts and their beliefs. Yet Jesus calls in and gives us a different model for accompaniment. God modeled how to respond by first engaging with individuals as humans. That is, by eating with them, by connecting with them, and by talking with them. And then, and only then, after they've taken care of all of those major needs, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, only after they've taken care of those major needs can transformation truly begin. And not only does today's gospel give us a glimpse of this biblical process of transformation, or to put it another way, this process of ongoing and continual resurrection. But today's gospel also shows us what it looks like for us to experience resurrection. You see, for the disciples to really understand the scriptures, they needed to be open-minded. Openness was a prerequisite for understanding. Understanding then brought about resurrection. So openness brought understanding, understanding brought resurrection. And so if we keep that process in mind, I wonder how open we really are. I mean, how often do we walk into situations with an open-minded willingness to listen and engage? How often do we come here to church ready to be changed? I think more often than not, we come here thinking we already know who God is and we know enough about this Jesus guy. We come here with preconceived notions about God that are flat out harmful, damaging, and destroying the church and the world in which we live. We have let television and movies and pop culture create our inflexible belief structures so that by the time we get here, we are so closed-minded to the resurrection that it is the furthest thing from what we can experience in this place. And it's not your fault. In fact, it's probably me and my colleagues' fault. You see, one of the most common ways that we've closed ourselves off to transformation is by taking a metaphor and literalizing it. As church leaders and theologians, we've let it happen to the term resurrection each and every year. And in some cases, we've endorsed an Easter lie. As one theologian puts it, it's probably because the language of resurrection is so central to Christian faith, and because people want to escape the finality of death, that the imagery of resurrection has consistently been literalized. And you see, one way for us to better understand that resurrection is actually an image and it's not a fact is by looking at the wide range of biblical examples of resurrection. And we experienced one earlier today in today's service with Matthew at his baptism. For in baptism we are buried with Christ and we rise with Christ. Again, an image. It is a resurrection because it's the moment when we realize that as God's children, we don't have to worry about what the world throws at us. But rather, Matthew and each of one of us in our baptisms are reminded that we are loved by our God, that we are God's beloved children, and therefore we are liberated to love. And if that isn't a convincing enough argument, then so too we can think about our Easter Vigil, where we explored our ancestors' stories of resurrection. We saw how God raised people out of death during creation and at the story of Exodus by the Israelites. We celebrated new life that walked out of the chaos of the flood with Noah and his family, and also that those who were in that fiery furnace were liberated to live yet again. And the stories of resurrection at that Easter Vigil continued and continued with Lady Wisdom and Jonah and Miriam and Mary Magdalene, and they live on in each one of us as we continually seek, find, and experience resurrection. You see, resurrection was not a once and done moment. Rather, resurrection has happened, is happening now, and will continue to happen. And these statements about literalizing resurrection might lead to questions about Jesus' bodily resurrection. And I'm ready for them. Because could today's episode be about Jesus literally appearing in flesh? Sure. Could it instead be about the animating and embodied presence of Jesus found in and among the disciples? You know, much like, has anybody had this experience before, where you channel someone who's not there? No? Val hasn't. Some of us, right? It's like you're channeling this professor, or you're channeling Lady Gaga, or you're channeling, right? Could it be that Jesus experienced in that room is this essence of channeling another individual? Sure. And you see, as people of faith, we ponder these complex questions. However, the resurrection is so much more than just one particular Easter morning. For we know that resurrection is among us, around us, and in us. Resurrection is a mysterious thing, and resurrection is continuously developing image. So on this day, during these 50 days of Easter, we come to be transformed by our God with gifts of water, bread, and wine. We don't come to explain, but rather we come to experience. And so as we gather at this table in a few short moments, we will become the body of Christ by saying to one another, "Peace be with you." You see, for in this place, resurrection is experienced in the mending of relationships. It is discovered in the realization that we are fallible, and it is known in the acknowledgement that we will surely die. Yet, in our deaths, we live on. For we die in the image of Christ, and we too live in the image of Christ. So thanks be to God for this gift of resurrection. Alleluia and amen.